If hip hop should die before I wake, I put an extended clip inside of my ear.
Hear the sample, hear the beat. Just shy of its sweet 16th anniversary, Vibe magazine made a surprise announcement. It's closing its doors effective immediately. Now, the economy has taken its toll on the music industry, and certainly the magazine industry, and definitely the music magazine industry as well. Patrick Henry Bass, our friend, blames the death of Vibe on perhaps a different culprit. He's the senior editor at Essence Magazine and author of Like a Mighty Stream, The March on Washington, August 28th, 1963. He's in the studio. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning, MC Hockenberry.
MC Hockenberry. This has been a tough week for Quincy Jones, founder of Vibe, you know, producer of Michael Jackson. I mean, what does this mean in your view?
Well, I mean, Quincy Jones is still a genius. I mean, this is, after all, the guy who discovered Miles Davis in many ways and produced Leslie Gore, Barbara Streisand, and actually took Michael Jackson to heights that have never been reached before in music in terms of the sales of Thriller. This was a black eye to him because he had been trying to resuscitate Vibe for some time. Danielle Smith had been reinstalled as the editor-in-chief, but the odds were against Vibe from the moment that Danielle stepped in that seat. Not anything that had to do with her brilliance as an editor, but just tastes are fading. You know, many people in hip-hop, like Grandmaster Flash and African Bambaataa, some of these guys are really ready for early retirement. I mean, Social Security.
So there's a generational change in hip-hop, and Vibe can't get over that tsunami.
Right. Well, Vibe changed this identity. You know, hip-hop was born from the street, from the Bronx. And so what made hip-hop incredibly appealing to white kids from the suburbs as well as African-American kids from the street, Latino kids from the barrio, was this authenticity. When hip-hop became obsessed with bling and Gucci and sponsorship and product endorsements, it lost a lot of its authenticity and also relevancy.
You know, the thing about Vibe, though, is that it's a news source. I mean, Vibe was not simply a celebrity magazine. I mean, here's Tupac Shakur, okay? Tupac was a story.
Oh, absolutely.
That was covered by Vibe, as well as being a music sort of
Absolutely. And Vibe filled an incredible void in music industry, music reporting, that Rolling Stone just made no space or little space at all for African-American reporters. So you have 16 years after Vibe's creation, writers like Dream Hampton, Asha Bandele, Nelson George, Torre, Kevin Powell, who all had major starts and major stories at Vibe. And I ain't trying to catch up, I just roll them how I see.
So Patrick, is Rolling Stone eating Vibe's lunch now? Have they improved their hip-hop reporting in a way that's debilitating Vibe?
No, as a matter of fact, I think that it's the exact opposite. I think that Rolling Stone is now doing what they do best, which is focusing on pop and rock music. I mean, they stayed away from hip-hop in many ways, because when they covered it, they did hip-hop light, L-I-T-E. Vibe was covering hip-hop, but then hip-hop itself became light, L-I-T-E.
So you're also blaming this on the likes of Juvenile and Baby and maybe Lil Wayne and a lot of the Southern 504 hip hop, if I may.
Right.
Well, it was bling focused.
Well, it was crunk music, and Vibe very much had an anti-South bias. I'm a Southerner from North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So you had a lot of people like Master P and Juvenile and Soulja Boy and Lil Wayne who were seldom covered in the pages of the magazine, but those guys were getting a lot of attention online, especially with websites like The Concrete Loop that sort of popped up out of nowhere. It's a Southern-based website. The journalism is kind of shaky there, but the reporting and the scoops and the news and the exclusives that they were giving to their browsers every day and their visitors was incredible.
I mean, this really is an important new media story, because even if you added up all that, even if Vibe was able to cover all of the Southern characters and the sort of Southern narratives and stories,
it's quite Dickensian.
It still wouldn't have succeeded, because in a sense, the audience follows the renegade,
the outlaws, the sabotage, the
insurgency.
Exactly. There are like two white kids out there in the suburbs that didn't get the memo about the backwards hats and the saggy jeans. You know, all the other white kids have sort of moved on. You know, so if you're that white kid with the backwards baseball cap and the saggy jeans, I mean, you're
sort of out of it. I got to adjust it. Hang on.
Yeah.
Okay, Itay, you're like median age. You're right up there with P. Diddy and Jay-Z, right?
So Quincy Jones wants to revive Vibe online.
Any chance of that happening? Well, that's what he's saying. I think that he has his plate pretty full, but you're going to see a lot of Vibe-like magazines online very quickly, and some of them are out there already.
Is the brand strong enough, though, online to make it excel?
I'm not sure that Vibe's relevancy is that strong to remain online. It was a paper product that so many people have in their homes as a timeless collector's item, but what it did for magazine journalism and reporting and for urban music is indelible and incredible.
That legacy is secure. Patrick Henry Bass, takeaway contributor, Essence senior editor and author of Like a Mighty Stream.
Nothing stays the same.
Quincy Jones there, who had to give up Vibe yesterday. That's what we were talking about.
Everyone will change.